Good morning to all of you. We're glad that you're here at Grace Bible Church today. In our call to worship, we have been walking our way through the book of Esther. And chapter 9 of the book of Esther is a remarkable chapter, and it brings out an important holiday on the Jewish national calendar. And we are approaching our national holiday, July the 4th, on Tuesday. We'll be celebrating our 241st birthday as a nation. But the Feast of Purim was instituted to remember the great deliverance that God gave to the children of Israel after the Medo-Persian king had declared that the Jews were to be destroyed. He also decreed that they could fight back. And chapter 9 is a record of the great victories that God gave on those days that had been declared the Jewish extermination days. God gave the Jews a great victory. And we're told in verse 18, "But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day of the same they rested, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day, and of sending portions one to another." And Mordecai had that recorded into the records of the Medo-Persian Empire, and that has carried to this very day, the Feast of Purim, when God allowed the Jews to overcome their enemies. You know, it's wonderful to know that we're on the winning side, is it not? You know, when we look around us and we see all of the chaos and the confusion and the violence that's now coming to our shores and in other places around the world, we know that one day our Savior is going to sit upon the throne in Jerusalem and He is going to have peace. Now notice how I worded that. He is going to have peace. We can say peace, peace, peace till we're blue in the face and we don't have it. But He's going to have peace. He is going to establish peace because He will rule with authority. He will rule with power. He will not put up with the foolishness that we see so much of today. His throne will not be an egalitarian throne. It's going to be Jesus Christ, King. And I am looking forward to that day, aren't you? That we see our Savior enthroned upon that power of authority to establish peace in the world. Israel had peace. God allowed them to defeat their enemies, those that rose up. Not everybody rose up against the Jews, by the way, within the kingdom. Some of them had befriended the Jews, but there was a core group around Haman that hated and despised the Jews. They weren't exterminated. They came up against them those days, and God gave the Jews the victory and defeated them and allowed them to be preserved. I'm thankful this morning for the preserving hand of God on the United States of America. I don't know how much longer we have as a nation. No one knows. But I do know this, that God has been very faithful and very good to preserve us through these 241 years. And we should not take that for granted. We should be a people who have thankful hearts this coming Tuesday for what God has done. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our leaders that they would look to Him, not to some other God or the God of money or the God of government, but that they would look to the God of the universe and that they would trust in Him. We need to pray for the United States of America. This morning we have chosen some patriotic hymns to sing together in our worship service. We're going to turn first of all to 682. We'll stand together as we sing, "God of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty all the starry band." 682. Let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are indeed the God of all things, the God of the universe, God who is almighty in power, all-knowing, a God who is independent of all things and all individuals. And we have the privilege of crying out to Thee this morning, knowing that You loved us and that You do love us, that You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to demonstrate that love and going to a cruel cross and dying there, shedding His precious blood, that we might have forgiveness of sin. Lord, we cannot adequately with words say how thankful we are for that work that was done on Calvary's tree, knowing full well that we're totally undeserving. But we are thankful this morning that You indeed loved us and You demonstrated grace in such a powerful way that we can benefit this morning. We can call upon Thy name. We can cry out to Thee with our needs, knowing that You will hear us because we're Your children. And Lord, we pray for those who may be here today or listening by way of radio who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We pray for them this morning that they might have open hearts to receive Your word, that the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts to bring them to the place of salvation. Lord, we thank You for Your great love to us. We thank You this morning for this nation, a nation founded on principles of the Word of God, a nation that demonstrated that all rights that are given to mankind come from Thee, not from government, but from Thee. And we have had the wonderful privilege of growing up in the United States of America. But Lord, we know that this is a troubled nation. It is a nation that has left its moorings, has drifted away from the authority of the Bible, and is now full well and full set sail on the sea of uncertainty and evil because we have turned against Thee. We've removed Thy name from monuments. We have sought to remove the Ten Commandments from any reference on a courtyard lawn or inside of a building. We've sought to remove prayer in our public schools. Lord, there are consequences that are coming in because of that. And we do pray for the United States of America. We pray for those who are in authority over us, for our leaders. We pray for those men and women who serve in the armed forces who are sent to dangerous places around the world to defeat the enemy there so we do not have to face them here. We think of those who represent our state and those who serve in our city and in our county, Lord. We bring them before Thee and we pray that You would work in their hearts, that they would turn to Thee. There are so many that do not know Thee as their personal Savior. And we pray for them today that their hearts would be made soft through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and that we might hear of their salvation. And we pray, Father, that there would be a turn in this nation back to Thee. Lord, as we celebrate 241 years, I pray that we as a people would not settle on our lees, but that we might understand that with liberty there is great responsibility, and with truth there is a great responsibility. And so I pray for the United States of America and the people of it, that there would be a turning to Thee. Father, we think of missionaries that are serving today all around the world. We thank You for the Pinoles who are with us today. We thank You for their ministry in Spain and for the work that You've called them to there, working with young people and children and reaching out to families in a very difficult place where religion is so firmly rooted. We pray, Father, for the people of the Catalan region as they minister there, that they might realize that their religion is empty. It is vain. There is no hope found in it. And I pray that they might turn to Thee. Lord, all of our missionaries are facing these battles on foreign fields. We face it here in the United States, where hearts are hardened and people turn to all kinds of other things to worship. Sports heroes, Hollywood, all kinds of other things that are worshiped in place of Thee. I pray, Father, that you might raise up men and women who will carry forth your gospel to share with those who are lost, and that there would be a great turning to thee. Now, Father, we pray for this service today. We ask, dear Lord, that you would empower Brother Pignol as he comes to share your word to our hearts. And I pray that we might have ears to hear. Help us not to think about what we're going to do this week or this afternoon, but help us to devote all of our energies to hearing the word of God during this hour. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for all that you do. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn back to number 680. Number 680, we'll sing on all four stanzas of My Country, 'Tis of Thee. 680.
Thank you.
Let's turn together to number 681. We're going to sing the first stanza only of O Beautiful for Spacious Skies that Nicole just played. And out of respect, let's stand together as we sing on stanza one, O Beautiful for Spacious Skies for Amber Waves of Grain. 681. It's our privilege to have with us Dr. Peter Pignol, and we're so thankful that he's able to be with us today. Do pray for them. They're going to be traveling for the next several months here in the United States. We want to pray for their safety and protection and also the needed increase in their support that God would provide. So, Brother Peter, would you come, please?
Thank you. What a blessing, what a joy to be here this morning serving the Lord. And as I share with you this morning what was in our heart, I was thinking, oh, Lord, help me with the English. I want to apologize for my English. I have not been preaching for years in English. And I notice my mind is kind of slowly as I try to work with my accent. Somebody asked me a theological question, was what language will speak in heaven? And I said, English. And they looked at me funny. And I said, and he looked and said, why? And I said, because it takes an eternity to learn it. So that's my theory. I don't know if that will be fine, but that's my theory. Our son was born in North Carolina. Daniel, he's in at home, and we pray often for the United States of America. I know it will come the 4th of July, and we pray for this country. This is also a mission field. As we look around us, we saw how many people are without Christ. They are lost. So we're praying for all of you that the Lord will use you also here in Milton, Florida. This is your mission field. And we pray for this nation. It used to be a great nation. Now it's more a big nation. So we're praying that it will become a great nation again with all our heart. I am thankful also for what the Lord has been doing through you all here. We were just talking with Anne Caroline. We have been helping a little bit doing the translation of the material that they have for the children. And we have not finished. There are more to do. We're looking forward to finish and do all what we can. But what a blessing is to use booklets and stories back in Spain. We have been giving away to different missionaries also that they can use that material. So we are very thankful for that. And I want to ask you your prayers as we serve the Lord in Spain. We want to be useful for His glory is what we want to do. And as we see the mission field, I realize the importance of my own heart as I serve the Lord. I was telling you how I was influenced by Brainerd, that missionary that went to the Indians, if you recall it. Yes, William Carey for me was a hero. And Hudson Taylor. I read so much about that man going to China and what he did for the Lord. Without a doubt, George Mueller, the German missionary that worked out by faith with the little children. You know, he had an accent. It's funny how God uses people with accents. Yeah, it's funny. George Mueller, what a man. He lived by faith. He served by faith. But I am always recalled they were just men. They were just tools, like you and me. But God can do great things with you if you're willing to serve Him. And in this morning, as I pray for the message, I want to encourage missions. I want to look to the Word of God. Because my own responsibility before the Lord, saying, Lord, how am I supposed to do missions? How am I supposed to serve You? Please show me through Your Word. And I was looking from the beginning of our ministry to center our ministry in Christ and in the Word of God. And of course, the Apostle Paul came to my mind. How he did it? What was his heart in missions? And today, we're going to see that through the Word of God. But before we do it, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our beloved Heavenly Father, I am so conscious that unless You do the work and You bless the heart, I cannot do it, Father. I can. My English is a broken English. Yeah. I sometimes don't find the words, and then how to express such a great salvation, how to talk about such a great Savior, how to talk about the needs of the people that are going to hell. Father, how can I do those things? I can. But I am also conscious, Father, that You are here with us this morning. And that You appointed this hour for us so You could talk to us in our own needs. So, Father, I pray that You will help each of us this morning. Help me to talk. But, Father, may it be that Your Holy Spirit would talk to the hearts and to the life of the people here in this morning. Maybe there's someone that maybe is lost. Maybe it's somebody that's fighting against You. Or maybe someone that is called to the mission field and then is not listening. Father, would You please, Father, speak to our hearts. Help me as I preach to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, but especially to glorify You in everything that I say, everything that I do. Be with us, Father. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bible in the book of Acts. And we're going to read one of my favorite verses. It's the verse that the Lord also used to call me to the ministry. Let's go to read in Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. We're going to begin reading in verse 19. Acts 20, verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound into the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourself, and to all flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall gravious wolves enter into among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away these disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. I have covered no man's silver or gold or apparel, yet yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let the Lord make his precious word to our hearts. The Apostle Paul had his eyes put on Spain. He wanted to go there to share the gospel. He traveled all over the Mediterranean Sea with this in his heart and mind, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going toward the end of the world, Spain. But let's look how he did it. What was his heart, his vision, and his desire? Let's try to learn of him so we can also follow his example as he followed the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage that we just read, we see him there in Ephesus just saying goodbye to the elders of the congregation. He was going by, and I tell you, what moment of sadness. It's sad to say goodbye. It's what I don't like about furlough is that every time you're saying goodbye, we'll see you in 4 years maybe. But one day we'll say, hello, we are here in heaven. No more goodbyes in heaven, right? But he was flying, he was escaping, he was running from one place to another. And in this passage, we see his heart in missions. The first thing that I realized in those verses that we read, in verse 19, he says that he was serving the Lord. But then he explained how he was doing it. Have you noticed the first thing is the attitude? He has an attitude about serving the Lord. Three things caught my attention. It says, with all humility of mind, with many tears, and with many temptations. The attitude of Paul was that he was serving the Lord with all humility. And that's the first thing I want to talk about this today. The Lord does not use pride people. The Lord wants for us to be serve him with all humility. And he will do anything for us to be broken, to really realize that we cannot do it in ourselves, in our strength. It's God who does the work. It doesn't matter where, here in Milton, in Alabama, or in the States, or in Spain, or Asia. God wants humble people to serve him. He has not called very impressive people. The world look for impressive people. But God calls those that are humble. God does not call those that are prepared, but God prepares those that are called. With all humility, he served the Lord. And that men also with many tears. I don't like to cry, you know, I'm a man. Men don't cry, is what they say. But I tell you, in the ministry, there are many tears. Why not? You see the people getting to hell, are you not going to weep over it? Over the souls that are getting lost? And they are so blind that you tell them that there is salvation in Christ, that they can be saved, and they don't want to listen. That breaks the heart. When I see the thousands of people that I walk by every day in Barcelona and I see them getting lost, tell you, I weep over it. Because I know that only the Lord can save them. And yet they prefer to go to hell than to embrace the Savior, our beloved Savior. We weep over them. And then, yes, we have a broken heart, and I'm sure Pastor will know that. Because we, Pastor, we have a broken heart. There are so many things that break our heart. So many needs in our own congregation, in our own people. We pray for them. We intercede before the Lord, asking for the life of those that we are serving. And tears begin to appear in our eyes. Oh yeah, they are precious tears. They are precious tears. Tears of joy also. When you see a little one coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you see that face of happiness because that child has encountered the Savior, and what a joy. In Spain, we say that tears make your eyes beautiful. So I guess mine are very beautiful by now. A lot of tears and a lot of temptations. The word there, temptations, also mean difficulties. And let's be conscious of this. It's not easy to serve the Lord. I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to say, oh, wow, serving the Lord is so nice and everything is okay. I am a soldier. Soldiers fight. And we get dirty. You know that? I love soldiers when, you know, a Marine with all their signs and nice looking sharp. I like that. But that is, it's only in occasions. Most of the time, a soldier is in a trench, fighting the enemy. And there are difficulties. Satan, if he could kill us, he would do it. Satan does not want for the word of God to prosper and go on. He will put a lot of difficulties. And Paul told us about that, the difficulties of serving the Lord. But I tell you, what a joy. What a joy. Even difficulties, even wars, even trenches. We have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul knew that. And in his aptitude, he knew that sacrifice was going to take place. He said, I kept nothing. And yeah, it's a sacrifice. You cannot go, you know, serving the Lord and just be in a nice boat ride. No. You are sacrificing. You are leaving things behind, and you are trying to get everything that is disturbed so you can serve better the Lord. Livingstone, the great missionary, somebody approached him and said, oh, Mr. Livingstone, what a sacrifice you did for God. Livingstone looked at him and said, sacrifice? None. What a privilege. And that's the reality of our sacrifice. Yeah, Livingstone was lost in the jungles for many years. But he has one vision in his heart, the joy of heaven, the privilege of serving the Lord. William Carey in India, in the dark hole of India. You know, he went there, one of the first missionaries to go to India. What a sacrifice! Yeah, what a privilege. What a joy. What an adventure! What a great thing for the Lord, nor a sacrifice. But it's true that you have to become an example. And we read it here in this verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, we fall me by the lying weight of the Jews, many persecutions. But look at this. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have show you. Have you heard of those words? I have show you. We are examples. As missionaries, as Christians as well. Many unbelievers, the only Bible that will read would be your own life. The only thing that they may know about Christ would be through your own life. You are an example in your way, in your testimony, in your manners. Here in the States, I noticed that you can go to any park and maybe you see children there and then you say, all right, let's sing Jesus Loves Me. You know that song, Jesus Loves Me, this I know. And the children may sing, yeah, Jesus Loves Me. Or maybe they don't know the song, maybe. You go to Spain and you say, okay, children, let's sing Jesus Loves Me. And they'll look to you and say, who's Jesus? I'm not kidding, it's like that. It's hard for that reason. And the only Christ that they may see at the beginning would be through our lives. Our neighbors in Spain, they're lost. Some of them were Catholic years ago, but they were so fed up with the Catholic Church, they even don't go to church no more. And they look to us and they say, well, you're different. Yeah, we are different because we have the Lord. That's the only thing. We are sinners saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that put me to another point that he was doing. He was teaching. It's interesting there in that verse 19, 20, I'm sorry. But I have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Taught, teaching. The word in Latin is educare. That means to feed, to give food. Interesting. I'm getting fatter and fatter here in the States. I am eating so much. But that's the idea of teaching. I am giving you something of profit in your life. And Paul was doing that. One of the responsibilities in our mission field is to teach the Word of God. There is a great need. You don't realize that in Spain there are no Bible colleges. If we want to train nationals, they have to come here to the States or all countries. We don't have Bible colleges. We need to train them. We need to teach them. And Paul was doing that. He was teaching. So he was humble. He was weeping. He was teaching. He was being an example. But he was not doing it by his own strength and power. The outreach was to the Jews and to the Greeks. Both of them needed the Lord. But look how he was doing it to the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 again. We read there. In verse 22, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Paul was serving the Lord in the Spirit. And that's the key of our calling, our service. We cannot do it with our strength. We have to ask the Lord to have a fellowship with the Holy Spirit so we will be used by Him and through Him. This is not a ministry of the power of the flesh. It's a ministry of God. And we need His strength. Paul was serving through the Holy Spirit. And as he contemplated his life, he realized that there was only one thing that was moving his heart. Verse 24. That was a matter of life. His life was bounded to Christ. He was willing to lose his own life, to give it all to Christ. But he had one thing in mind, was Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, what moves you? Let me ask you this morning, what do you account your life for? Let me ask you this morning, what course are you running? Let me ask you this morning, which ministry have you received? In verse 24, Paul says, none of these things move me, neither can I my life unto you myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I receive of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I tell you, Paul had received a call, had his heart been moved. He counted his life as nothing. He had to run a race, and he was willing to pay the price, and he was willing to fight the fight. But sometimes we are unwilling. We are afraid. We don't want to serve the Lord because we think that we will have to pay too much for it. So we are not willing to serve the Lord. And as I see young people, and I love young people, they know me. We play with them. I fight with them. I am a good fighter. We can train later. But, you know, I do a lot of things with young people. But I tell them, what are you going to use your life for? What do you want to do in your life? And I am praying for my own children. They are helping us in the ministry, in camps and in the VBS, and they are there with us. I want the Lord to call them to the ministry. I want the Lord, not daddy and mommy. I want for the Lord to do it. But one thing that they have learned is that they, whatever they do in life, the first thing they do is to serve God. And you may be a pilot, like our friends here, and Jeremy's a pilot, and you may be a teacher, and that's fine, or a musician. But you were created with a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God. That's the first call you have to be in your life. Say, Lord, I am safe. What do you want for me to do? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You may say, well, if I surrender my life to Christ, he's going to call me to Africa, and I don't want to go to Africa. They will eat me, the cannibals, I don't know how you say. Don't panic. Don't panic. God may have another purpose. Maybe you may be eaten not by cannibals. How do you say that word? The ones that eat you, the men that eat you. Cannibals. Yeah, you may not be eaten by them. You may be eaten by an alligator in Milton, Florida. Don't be afraid of that. But hey, give your life to the Lord. He knows best. He has a perfect plan. And Paul, in his attitude, that verse 24 is a key verse for my own life. I was called to the ministry when I was 15 years old. I mean, I began to preach in our own local church at 15 years old. The pulpit was bigger than me. It was so big, I had to move out, and still doing it. I don't know why. Because it was big. And I know that I am nothing. As I told you, I wanted the Lord to use my life. And I really pray hard for that. But I realized that the more important was not that I was being used, but that he was being glorified. And that's the reason you were created, for the glory of God. And Paul knew that. But that will give you a responsibility. In verse 25, we say, and now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. What a responsibility. Ye all. You know that we are responsible to all men? To all men. In verse 26, Paul says, I am pure from the blood of all men. Again, I am not sure. I can only think that maybe he was thinking in the prophet Ezekiel when the Lord told him that the blood of those that he was preaching was upon his head if he didn't preach, or Jeremiah. And maybe Paul was thinking in that, you know, we are responsible for the life of people that are lost. And what a great responsibility. I know the Lord could have been using angels to preach the gospel. Yeah? Instead of men, he could, yes, and angels. Wow, very impressive. But God chose you and chose me to go and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us the responsibility. And in another place in the Bible, Paul say, I am a debtor to all men, and woe me if I don't preach the gospel. Man, we have that responsibility. We cannot sit down and relax. We have to go and preach. And I know, in Spain, I sometimes go and knock doors. We do that, but it ain't work. That's not good English. It does not work, okay? We have to do it in other ways. But I try to reach those that are around me with the gospel. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. I notice more and more this society is kind of make us quiet. Don't make too much noise. As pastor pray, you know, that they have taken off the Ten Commandments from the schools. We cannot pray in public now. Oh, what's happening? We're in a war. That's what's happening. And the devil is trying to win. And he thinks that he's going to win. But he's a loser. He's not going to win. The Lord is in control, brethren. But we have to be brave. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, I am not ashamed. That was the heart of this man. And that has to be our heart. Let them see us praying. Let them see us talking about the Ten Commandments. Let them see us what we believe. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. God is with us. And I know that His coming is going to be soon. I don't know when. I am not a prophet or a son of a prophet. I know He's coming soon. I know that. So we have to be engaged in this time, in this opportunity, while He is not coming. And don't be afraid. Look what Paul did. In verse 26, he said, I am pure from the blood of all men, because he preached to all, testifying about the gospel of the grace of God. That's in verse 24. Preaching the kingdom of God, verse 26. Declaring unto you the counsel of God. In season and out of season. No resting. That's what we have to do. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The world is against us. The devil is against us. But God is with us. Don't be afraid, little flock. Christ is with us. And we have received all the power that we need. And I am not a charismatic, but I believe in that power. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not our strength, it's His strength. The Lord said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power. We got that. We have the power of prayer. Oh, don't forget that power. Because that is what keeps us going, the power of prayer. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. We are powerful. We have that, and we have to continue. But that's going to give us responsibility. And I was reading here in verse 28, Paul also talked about his accountability. It's interesting this, in verse 28, it said, take heed, therefore. Those words are calling us to action. Be careful. Take heed. The enemy is going to try to destroy you. Satan is going to try to destroy you, to destroy this church. Paul talked to Timothy and said, take heed of yourself and the doctrine. Remember those words? Here it says, take heed of yourself and the flock, the congregation. Brethren, take heed. There's a lot of dangers around you and around us. And I know that things have changed and things are going to go to worse as the Lord approaches. Yesterday in the alligator, I love alligators again. I was approaching the river and my daughter Anna said, Daddy, don't go too close. I said, no, it's okay. You know, I know they can jump on you and eat you. I know that, but you know, I think they saw me that fellow's too ugly. We are not going to eat him. But I was approaching them and I thought, they hit. Be careful. I saw a sign that said, danger. My beloved, we're in danger. We are in danger. We have to be careful in our relationship with the Lord, in our doctrine, in our lives, in our doings. We have to be careful. And especially as missionaries, we have to be careful because we're serving the Lord with something that is not ours. It's His. The congregation, the church. This verse is a good verse to talk against Jehovah's Witness, and I have used this verse. In verse 28, where it says, I'm going to read the whole thing, take heed therefore unto yourself and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. The blood of God, the blood of Christ, was the blood that purchased you and me. We are His. And today, as I am here, I am trying to be very careful with the property of God, you all. Because He paid a high price for you and me, His own blood. The measure of God's love toward us is Christ. That's the measure. He loved us so much, that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. And that it really moves my heart, because I am not worthy of that love. I'm not. I cannot explain why the Lord wanted to save us. He could just send us to hell like this, but He wanted to save us by His grace. What a deep love. He paid with His blood our redemption. And yes, it's a matter of watchfulness. Let's read verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you. We have to watch for those wolves. We have to watch for false teachers and false Christians and false brothers and false doctrine. But watch and remember. Watch and pray. Paul was telling that church, hey, you have been purchased with the blood of the Lamb. You are precious value, but wolves will come and try to destroy you. Watch and pray. We have to hold up. Remember what we show you here, that human tower? It was nice, right? Cool. Yeah, we could do that. But they were tied. They were together. They were praying for one another. That is what they were doing here in the church. Holding hands together in prayer. Be watchful. Because we have commended to God. Verse 31, it says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. We are commended to God. We are commended to the word of His grace. We are commended to Him who paid such a price for us. We are His, and that will bring results. The work of grace in our hearts will build us, will help us, will give us an inheritance in heaven. You know that we are people with a great destiny, heaven, where the Lord is. Yeah, He promised a good destination, but not an easy ride. There are difficulties. There are things that will try to stop our lives from serving the Lord. And I don't know with what you are battling this morning. I don't know. But please give your life to the Lord. Don't battle no more. We have been committed to Him. He has a purpose for you. And for you too. He wants your lives to surrender to Him for His glory. You are important. He bought you with His blood. You are precious in His eyes. And we have to trust in that. Yeah, sometimes it's not easy. It was not easy for me to go through a cancer. I mean, that was one of the most difficult things that I ever lived. It was unexpected. It was unwanted. You say that? We didn't want that. But I am so thankful that the Lord put me through that. And I walk through that. The book of Isaiah, there is a verse that says that when you walk through the fire, and translating now, it will not burn you. And through the river, the water will not take you. Translating that in English. Have you noticed that? When you go through the waters, oh, so I have to go. He didn't said, you will not go through the fire. He said, when you go through the fire. Notice the difference? But I will be with you. I will be with you. And I know about fear and trembling. And I know what the heart feels when you realize that you are nothing. And you know what happened to me? After all was over, I thought, Lord, I want to serve you more now. Because the only purpose of this life is to glorify you. I tell you, it was hard, but it was sweet. I never been so close to the Lord as in that valley of shadows. I was with him. And Paul went through also many, many, many valleys of shadows. In my last point, in verse 32, he commends them to God. He expresses his heart also in verse 33, I have covered no man's silver or gold. We are not here because money. We are not here because having a reputation. We're not here for that. We are here to give something. I have a t-shirt, somebody gave it to me, of the Marine Corps. I was not in the Marine, I was in the Green Beret in Spain. It was different, but I like what it says in the t-shirt. It says, all gave some, yeah, and some gave it all. Interesting. Because all of us, we are given something. We are here this morning. Oh, that's good. So everybody is giving something. But are you willing to give it all? That's a question. Paul say, hey, I gave it all. I gave it all. And talking about missions, I wrote it down. If we don't give to missions, we will give up in missions. You can give your life, but never give up. Never surrender. You keep your pause. You keep your call. You keep your position. You get strength in the strong one. Never surrender. Never give up. The battle can rage. The enemy can come. And Satan can try to destroy you all. But keep on strong. Because the strong one is with us. Yeah, as I complete it, I see missions. I realize that that is what Paul did. And that's what we are called to do. To serve the Lord with all our hearts, our mind, our strength, with everything that we have. And I am so thankful that you all are part of what the Lord is doing. Here in Milton, also in Spain. And I beg for your prayers as we are serving the Lord in Spain. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, as we contemplate the field, we see a great need. But as we contemplate the cross, we see a great Savior, our Lord. And Father, I pray that you will help us to realize what a great responsibility we have to serve you and to live our lives for you. Talk to our brethren and help each of us to live for your honor and your glory. I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you take your hymn books, please, and join me at 224. 224. I pray that you will take to heart the message that you've just received. That phrase has often come to my heart and mind, that you often see with the statement that goes with the Marines, that all give some gave their all. And I just pray that we will examine our own hearts. Maybe we haven't gotten to the some part. Maybe we're just holding it back. We need to turn it over to the Lord. And we need to be used of the Lord so that we can testify to others as Paul did. He said, I've given everything. I've held nothing back from you. That's the kind of heart that it takes to serve the Lord. Because who do we belong to? If we're Christians, we belong to Him. We don't own anything. It all belongs to Him. And so we need to have a heart and mind and soul that's wrapped up with the truth of what has been shared this morning. Would you stand together with me, 224? Verse 3 says, help me then in every tribulation. That's what Paul said. The Holy Spirit told him, your life is going to be filled with trial and afflictions, imprisonments. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, ere to take us from the Father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Allow the word, as it's been preached to our hearts this morning, to linger in your thoughts and minds as we go forth from this place. Don't let it be the end. Don't let the messages fall deftly on your ears, but let it ring in your soul. And if you're holding back from God today, you're keeping things back from Him, you're part of the group that just gives some, say, Lord, I want to be a part of that group, that remnant that gives all. And then God can use you in a remarkable way. Let's sing on that third stanza. Precious Father, we thank you for the Word of God that's been delivered to our hearts this morning. Oh, what a very important passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul unfolds his heart for the people to whom he ministered. It wasn't a partial heart giving. It was all of his heart. He held nothing back from those he carried the gospel to. Oh, Lord, how guilty we are so much of the time holding back on Thee, keeping things for ourselves, hoarding things for the future, with no understanding or idea of the fact that our future may end today. And then what will we have done with the time that You've given to us? It will have been squandered on self. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would bring about conviction of sin in our hearts, the sin of selfishness, the sin of hoarding things and keeping things back from Thee. Lord, Ananias and Sapphira tried that, and we know the outcome of their lives. Lord, help us not to go down that road, but help us to be givers of all things to Thee so that we can be used mightily of Thee in reaching our neighborhoods and reaching our work people that we minister with every day, to see them come to Christ one by one, because we are reaching out beyond ourselves and communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for the ministry of the Pinyols. We thank You, Lord, for the work that's being done in Spain, and we pray that You would bless them as tonight they share their work with us. I pray that we would be back and that we would have hearts ready to receive so that we can pray effectively and give to them, that we might see that work furthered. And we'll give You the glory and praise for what You do in our hearts and what You do in their ministry, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.